So this is a re-recording of a share I gave this afternoon on Zoom, and it's being pieced together by different parts. Unfortunately, I had a very bad experience. I left my Zoom lecture open for whoever wanted to join, and I guess some people, probably anti-Semitic, they joined the share, and they started flooding the share and cursing me out and writing things on my blackboard and putting up pictures that were inappropriate. So the share got derailed and I had to have another quick link, and I forgot to record, so I think it's an important share, and I pieced together some of the recording that I have. So that's why you'll hear frequent summaries, because people were rejoining. And this is the first part that didn't come out, and I'm going to append it in Mirtishin to the second part. So but I think it's an important enough share, so please carry through and listen to it. So a lot of conversation today, today's Hey Nisan, about whether we should say Tachanun during this crisis, even though it's Nisan, or we shouldn't say Tachanun during this crisis, even though it's because it's Nisan. And I'm going to talk a little bit about in the end of this year, the part that you'll hear. But I want to talk about Tachanun and what role Tachanun plays. Tachanun is a somewhat of a neglected tefillah. Comes after the climax of Shemoneh Esrei, Monday and Thursday. It's a little bit long, and we're not that familiar with some of the psukim, some of the structure. So whether you say it or not, now during the crisis, I appreciate what it is and time to discover the Tachanun. And probably the best way to capture what I want to try to accomplish is there really are three parts to Tachanun. The core of Tachanun is Nefilas HaPayim, which we'll talk about. Of course, on Monday and Thursday, it's elongated to the parts known as Vuhurachum. And then there's the part right before Nefilas HaPayim, which some people, Svardim, Nusach Svard, have a minute to say, Asham Nevidoy, as well as Yud Gimel Midos. And this is based on Zohar and the influence of the Ari HaKadosh. And many poskim disagree. That's why Minhag Ashkenaz is not to recite daily Tachanun, or daily, excuse me, daily Vidui, because it could become rote and routine, just to constantly say Hashem, then it loses. If there's anything that should be heartfelt and honest, it should be Vidui. And every day, confessing, so the confessions become very trite. So we have to try to redeem the entire Tachanun from becoming rote and something we just rifle off and mumble away. The purpose is to understand the structure of Tachanun in particular, the core part of the Nefilas HaPayim and the elongation of Tachanun on Mondays and Thursdays. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, Parakei, that there are eight parts of Tefillah that are necessary, the Namakev, how your clothing, your body, your makom, I know Rambam in front of me. And then the last of the eight, seven is Kriya, which is bowing down in Shemoneh Esrei. And then the last one, which is basically his referencing what we would call Tachanun, is called Nefilas HaPayim, is called Hishtachava. The Rambam says there are two types of Hishtachava, either fully prostrate, as we would associate it, or half falling on your head, as we perform our Nefilas HaPayim. So there's obviously some addition to Tefillah that Hishtachava provides. Tefillah can end with Tefillah. There's something post-Tefillah, our Tachanun, our Nefilas HaPayim, the Rambam's terminology of Hishtachava, and somehow Tefillah has to consummate with Hishtachava. So what is Hishtachava? How does it add to Tefillah? Or in our terminology, what is Nefilas HaPayim? How does it add to Tefillah? So in Tanakh, we see two different types of people who are Mishtachaveh. We see people who are Mishtachaveh when they're extremely grateful for something that happened to them of a favorable nature. So Eliezer Eved Avram is Mishtachaveh when he realizes that he's discovered Rivka, of all the women in Haran. Or Am Yisrael are Mishtachavim when they hear the news of their Geula in Parsha Shemos. So because you're so grateful, you show your gratitude by making yourself less and bowing down and placing yourself literally, physically underneath. Whether it's a sign of religion, Takarish Baruch, or we can even bow, as let's say Asians do to each other, as a sign of mini-gratitude. The opposite extreme are people that feel helpless and hopeless. And they're Mishtachaveh, people like Moshe and Aaron during Korach, the Meraglim, Yoshua, the debacle at Ai when he fails to conquer Ai and their casualties, or Esther when she bows her body in front of Ahasuerus in order to beg. And there's a commonality when you lower your torso, either fully on the ground, or you draw your torso into yourself and you eliminate it, you're showing inferiority, gratitude, that you owe that person something. You don't hold yourself above that person. And we're going to append this to the continuation of the shiur, which was recorded. And hopefully you'll hear the Rabbeinu Bachaye, the Talmud of the Ramban, elaborating. So please continue the shiur in a second. Just to get another link. Alternatively, I'm recording it now on my phone. Alternatively, you have people in Tanakh who are extremely hopeless, and they feel helpless, and they're at the end of their line, and they don't know where to turn. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron during the Meraglim, during the Korach incident. Yoshua when he fails to capture Ai, and there's some casualties. Esther when she's pleading for her life and the life of her people. So there's something about even physical, where you make yourself lower than someone else, and you show that you're grateful, you show that you're helpless. How does this conclude tefillah? So Rabbeinu Bachaya, the Talmud of the Ramban, 13th century, talked about three different aspects, and I'll go through them quickly. One is, you've just stood in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, you've just encountered him, you want to walk away with a little bit of shame, that you don't feel comfortable looking at Hashem, and sneers, that you don't feel that you're right. Sometimes little children, you think, when you cover your eyes, they're not going to see you. Person that doesn't feel that at some point that your sins make you embarrassed to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or just being a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu covers his face when he first sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya calls it Hachna and Boshis and Sneos. That's one aspect. Another aspect, he says, is Hachna and Sar, to feel humble, to feel the pain that you're suffering through, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should sense the pain and answer you. We certainly are going through enough pain emotionally, physically. So the first one is boshes and sneers. The second is tsar v'hachna. The third aspect, I'm sorry, Ariella. Again, those who are joining late, this shiur was hacked, so I'm going to have to admit people into the room. Just one or two shiur, and just hopefully they won't bother me anymore. They'll move on to something else, other people. The third aspect, he says, is asiras chushav uvitil hargashosav. You mevatel yourself, you've just davened, but you're not even sure what you need. You're not even sure what the future holds. What makes this coronavirus so difficult and so challenging is that every day's decisions changes tomorrow, and decisions we're making, we don't even know the variables that are at play. So those are the three aspects that we're trying to demonstrate when we sink into ourselves after davening, that our davening shouldn't just end abruptly. We've stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've lodged our requests, and we know what we want. No, we've stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're a little bit embarrassed. We're suffering, and we're humble about the process, and we never know what we want. I mentioned that in Rav Amram Gaon Siddur, Rav Amram was a 9th century Gaon. He had a phrase there, which we end up our tefillahs, and we never know what we're asking for. So this is what Tachnun in general is meant to accomplish. It's an important part of tefillah. It's the closure of tefillah. I would say it sets a tone that balances tefillah. We stood in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, that shouldn't be too comfortable. We stood in front of Hashem lodging our request. We have to be a little bit humble about it. We stood in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't even know what we want. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of Svardim don't fall on their heads. They just say Tachnun sitting. And this is also based on a Zohar and a lot of the influences of Kabbalah on Svardim. Because in the Zohar, there's an accent on standing in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu based on the Pasuk Esa Kapai El Hashem. I want to look at Hashem, and I want to put my heart into our Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you're bending away, you're moving away from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they felt, that's why you'll see some Svardim don't perform the Tefillas Hapayim, but most Ashkenazim, and I'm giving this year primarily to an Ashkenazi tone, have the Tefillas Hapayim. Now, the many minhagim, what to say when we fall on our head, when we fall on our hands, we don't do the full Ishtachava of Pishi Yadayim Vraglayim. But most Ashkenazim say the Perek in Tehillim, which is Perek Vav. Perek Vav, we skip the first Pasuk, but I'll just read two important psukim from Tehillim Perek Vav. Hashem al bi apcha tochicheni, the al bachamascha tiasreni. Please don't critique me. Please don't punish me in your anger. We feel like, again, I don't think Hashem is angry, but there's a world of anger, and there's a lot of anger. And to be honest, I'm starting to get worried about what I call the spin-off effects of the coronavirus. I said at some point last night, I forget who I said it to, but when I used to say the Avinu Malkeinu, which is part of Tachnun, when I used to say Avinu Malkeinu Kale Dever, V'chera, V'rav, V'shvi, or Mashchis, V'yavon, V'shma, B'mnei V'secha, had a lot of kavanah for Dever. Hashem, please remove this plague. I didn't think about all the others because they were less imminent and less prominent. But in the aftermath of this plague, there could be cherev, there could be war, there could be shvi, there could be social unrest, there's definitely going to be rub, there's definitely going to be financial difficulties. Literally, before I gave the first shiur, which was hijacked, I saw that a Van Gogh painting was stolen from a Dutch museum that's been vacant because of the coronavirus. So there's a great, great potential here for unethical behavior, violent behavior, violent social unrest. So please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us through that as well. And then the next pasuk again, which should be obvious to you, Chaneni Hashem ki umlalani, have mercy on us because we're forlorn. Refa'eni Hashem ki nivhalu atzamai, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heal us because our bones are weak. One of the telltale signs of coronavirus for people that want to know is a fever, of course, the coughing, just the general weakness in your body. So this is one of the six or seven places in Tehillim in which the phrase refuah appears. Refaeni Hashem ki nivul atzamai. So when you say tachron and you put your head down, today we don't really have a sefer Torah in most places, so we're just saying tachron, all of us without a shtachavah, because the minagas, if you don't have a sefer Torah, think about that pasuk, refaeni Hashem ki nivul atzamai. So actually I'm just noting, this year has to be a little bit quicker than I thought, because I was going to daven mincha afterwards, and one of the days I didn't daven mincha. So Shkiyas Acham is 7, so I just want to make sure I stop the shir before mincha. I'm happy to remind us, but it won't go that long, don't worry. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the structure of Vidur, and then we'll talk a little bit about the different approaches, very, very briefly. Obviously, as I said before, there are three parts to Vidur. There's the Ashamnu or Tachron. Ashamnu, Yud Gimel Midos, which is inspired by the Zohar. A lot of post-game in the Minhag of Ashkenaz is not to say it, not to make it too routine, not to make it too rote. Then there's the core, which the Rambam calls the Shtachava, which we call Nefilas Apayim. That's the core Tachanun, Nefilas Apayim, trying to demonstrate all the aspects I cited in the name of Rabbeinu Bachaye. And then on Mondays and Thursdays, we add the longer Tachanun. What does this longer Tachanun come from? Why is it Monday and Thursday? So Moshe Rabbeinu ascends to Har Sinai to receive the Luchos on Thursday, descends to return the Luchos on Monday. So that's why Monday and Thursday always have these special statuses for Kriyas HaTorah, for Beis Din. It's a special Monday and Thursday edition. Where does it stem from? So the makor of these three, there are three parts to the extended Tachanun. Okay, you may not notice it because it feels like one run-on part, but if you just divide them into three, this is V'hurachum Yechaper Avon. Then there's the next section called Ana Melech Chanun V'rachum. And then the last section called Ein Kamocha Chanun V'Rachum. All three sections talk about Hashem's Rachmanis. V'hu Rachum Yechaper Avon, Ana Melech Rachum V'Chanun. Third section is Ein Kamocha Chanun V'Rachum. The story is told about three Jews who were found themselves on a boat after Yerushalayim was destroyed by the Romans, heading somewhere. It's not clear where they were heading, but remember, the Galus Rishona of the first Beis Hamikdash was local. They all walked to Bavel. This was a much more international galus. They were sent on boats. We know the story of the children who were taken on boats and they realized they were going to be sodomized, so they threw themselves into the ocean. So they weren't just taken on boats to Rome, they were taken on boats because they were sold as slaves. So we got this boat of Jews being led to some foreign empire, and the king sees them and says, well, I've heard about you Jews, and I'm going to burn you at the stake or burn you in a furnace to see whether you're bulletproof, because I know that the Jews are bulletproof. And because of the story of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, who defied Nebuchadnezzar and entered the Kivshan Ha'esh rather than bow down to his idol. So the king gave them 30 days to make their choice. And these Jews didn't know whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu would or not protect them. They didn't know whether they could take that chance, so to speak. And at the end of the 30 days, these three Zakenim had a dream. And they were told that there's a pasuk that has the word ki twice and the word lo three times. And they were racking their brain, which pasuk could this be referring to? A pasuk with the word ki twice and the word lo three times. And they remembered a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Gimel, Hashem promises us, wherever you are, I will redeem you. And here's the pasuk, ki ta'avar b'mayim, if you pass over the water, because they were traveling through the ocean, itchani, I'm with you. Uvan haros lo yishtefucha, and the rivers won't drown you. Ki teleich b'mo'esh, if you go through the fire, lo tichveh, that's the second lo, lo yishtefucha, lo tichveh, v'lehava, lo tivarbach. If you pass through the waters, you won't be drowned. If you go in the fire, you won't be burnt. So he said, this is our pasuk. We passed through the waters. We've been traveling to a distant land. We're now going to be tested in fire, and we won't be burnt. So they agreed to be thrown into the fire, knowing that they had this assurance based on their dream about a pasuk with the word ki twice and the word lo three times. And they entered the fire. This is all told in a sefer called Sefer Amanig, a 13th century French sefer. So they entered the fire, and the fire was split in three. They each went in, and they were safe. And because they each went in, there were three different saviors, they each compiled a different part of Vehurachum. One compiled Vehurachum, one compiled Anamelech Chanun Vehurachum, one compiled Ein Kamocha. It's a lot of tefillos, as well as gathering of psukim from Tanakh. I just want to highlight some of the key psukim from each section, which we add on Monday and Thursday. V'hurachim, of course, is the pasuk that people would recite, or that the Beis Din would recite before you received Malkus. Now, why is this important? Well, we recite V'hurachim before Maariv. Why? the minhag was in many, many Jewish communities, and you can imagine the minhag taking place now during this magefa, that between mincha and maariv, people would go out into the courtyard and give each other malchus, real or symbolic malchus, for their chatayim. So even when we didn't have a beis din, you'd go outside between mincha and maariv and get symbolic lashes to try to jumpstart some tshuva process. So between mincha and maariv, Jews were always saying v'hurachum yechaper avon to try to recapture some of the feel of what original malchus were like. So that's why we recite v'hurachum before maariv, which is the only day you weren't receiving malchus, Shabbos afternoon, which is why we don't recite v'hurachum before maariv on Shabbos. So we say v'hurachum, obviously we don't give each other malchus anymore, but it is a bit of a blast from the past and a bit of a sense of how Jews were knowing in the past. And when we say v'hurachum, these are the malchus psukim. There's a lot of psukim being cited from Daniel. Why is Daniel important? Daniel basically launches the history of tefillah. Tefillah existed in the first Beis HaMikdash, but clearly they were dominated, and one could say even overshadowed by korbanos. Now the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Jews are entering Chutz Laaretz, and they have to reassert the value, the centrality of tefillah. So Daniel davens very prominently through the window, looking at Yerushalayim, which is the source for us facing Yerushalayim, and that's why he's thrown into the den of lions. People don't know why was he thrown into the den of lions, because he was caught davening to Yerushalayim. So there's a lot of psukim that we quote from Daniel, V'yata Hashem Elokeinu, now that we're in Golos, please save us. And he refers to Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he refers to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So it's a very, very famous tefillah of Daniel, V'yata Hashem Elokeinu, Sharetzeitza Samcha Meretz Mitzrayim, you took us out of Mitzrayim, look at your Beis HaMikdash. In the end of this section, the section ends, not towards the end, where they pass it from Yeshaya, Samach Dalet, which I thought was very relevant for the Magefa, Ve'ata Hashem Avinu Ata, you're our father, Anachnu HaChomer Ve'ata Yotzreinu. We are the material, you are our creator. So we talk about our bodies and our vulnerabilities and our illnesses, Anachnu HaChomer Ve'ata Yotzreinu. So that's the first section of Tachnun, that first Zaken who was on the ship from the Golus of Yerushalayim. The second section is referred to as Ana Melech. This section is characterized by looking even earlier, back to earlier stages, not just Yitzias Mitzrayim. Remember, the first section quotes Daniel, V'yata Hashem Elokeinu she'artzeiseis amcha me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka. In this section, he's referring to Ana Melech Chanun v'rachum zechor v'habet lebris ben abasarim. Think about the time Jewish history was launched and how much of a struggle Jewish history is. V'seirai l'fanacha akedas yachid. Think about Akedas Yitzchak, and I think a lot during this plague about the Holocaust and the faith that we showed after the Holocaust and the 6 million Akedos and Bris Avoseinu and the Bris of our Avos. So there's more of a historical retreat, not just to Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is what these Zakenim themselves are experiencing, the second Beis HaMikdash, and thinking about Daniel experiencing the first Churban Beis HaMikdash, but now this second Zaken is thinking about the older images of Jewish Bris. This third Zaken made the third section. Ein kamocha chanun v'rachum. If you have a Rinat Yisrael, it's on page 72. So I want to highlight four quick psukim. First of all, he says the famous pasuk that Daniel says, he just inserts it, L'cha Hashem hatztaka v'lanu boshes apanim. So I see Jevin's here. Well, I don't know if I want Jevin to join. Does anyone know Jevin Greenblatt? Anyone know who Jevin Greenblatt is? And we've had some problems with people hacking, and maybe they discovered. I'm waiting on chat. If anyone knows Jevin Greenblatt? Okay, so we're not going to admit Jevin Greenblatt because we don't know who he is. In any event, so only take people with names just to give us a safe environment just for a little bit of time. Anyway, so he says, L'cha Hashem atztak of lana boshes upon him. This is really the first vidui in history. Daniel says, L'cha Hashem atztak v'lanu boshes upon him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right, we're wrong, which is the most basic, minimalistic vidui. You don't have too many vidois by sinners in Tanakh until the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Shmuel, of course, forces David to confess. David confesses, but Daniel confesses on behalf of all of Am Yisrael, and this becomes one of our lead psukim. It's a simple, toned-down vidui. L'cha Hashem atztaka v'lanu boshes upon him, and it features prominently on Tisha B'Av, we're accepting guilt for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So that third section includes this pasuk. Another pasuk it includes is, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's davening. Shuv mecharon apecha v'hinachem al hara li'amecha. So that's a pasuk we all remember from the Tanitzibra Shuv, Mecharona Pecha, Vinachem Alara, Liamecha. That's a pasuk that's quoted. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, which is very, very bare bones, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, which to me captures some of the desperation that the Breinu Bachaya spoke about. We don't know, we can't understand, we can't even daven, what he called Asiras Chushav, Uvital Hergoshav, where I just don't even know what type of tefillah I should offer. And then the final part, right before we get to Nefilas Apayim, when we say the Perek Vav, the final part is V'chon Om, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please have Rachmanis, HaMiyachadim Shimcha B'chol Yom. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have Rachmanis on the people, Chon, have Chanun, Om, for the people, HaMiyachadim Shimcha B'chol Yom, who every day are Mekabel Malcho Shemayim, Shema Yisrael, and thinking about Rabbi Akiva, saying Shema Yisrael on the way to his death, and all the Jews throughout the Golus who said Shema Yisrael as their last pasuk on this earth. So that's the structure of Tachanun. Tachanun is a crucial part of Tefillah. It's meant to segue from Tefillah to Ishtachava. It's meant to segue from standing in front of Hashem to being embarrassed, from asking to being humble and feeling the pain, from knowing what you want to realizing you don't know what you want. And the Ishtachava is the way to demonstrate it physically. Some minhagim have a vidui before it, based on the Zohar. Our minhag in Ashkenaz, unless you're in Eretz Yisrael, is not to say vidui. In Eretz Yisrael, we say vidui. And then on Monday and Thursday, we add these three sections, which those three zakenim added as they were spared in the fire. So now the question is, should you say it during Nisan? Should you not say it during Nisan? I see both sides. Full disclosure, I say it. And of course, Avinu Malkeinu is part of Tachanun. Avinu Malkeinu is the augmentation of Tachanun during a day of Slichos and a day of Tzaros. So Avinu Malkeinu is part of Tachanun, and in fact, some Nischos, and there are tons of Nischos, or multiple Nischos for Tachanun, some Nischos have summarized Avinu Malkeinu's every day, or every Monday and Thursday. So if we say Avinu Malkeinu, when we say Slichos, I say it every day now, but it's part of Tachanun. I feel like, since this is all Minhagim, and when we say it, when we don't say it, so I feel very strongly that if there's ever a time to say Tachanun, Avinu Malkeinu, I can't imagine a time like this where I want to pour my heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to live through what those three Zekanim lived through. I want to show my tzniros, my boshes. I want to show everything that Tachanun conveys. I feel like I should show to the Rabbonu Shalom at this point in Davin for his Yeshua. The other side is to say that so much of our depth as a people is based on our minhagim and based on the confidence that our continuity as a people have, and that there will be Nisans in which we'll celebrate our Gula. And this isn't the end of the world. And certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special chiba for his people, and he'll show that chiba to his people. And therefore, we want to maintain the immunity, as it were, excuse the pun, of Chodesh Nisan, and not wreck it with saying Tachanun. Much like people who are thinking about kulas for Pesach have to straddle what kula should we introduce, but on the other hand, we have to protect the integrity of Pesach. So I don't want you to get caught up if you don't want to say Tachanun because you feel like keeping the minhag of not saying Tachanun is more powerful, then don't. I think Rav Shechter Paskin like that, and until further notice, I think a lot of people in America feel comfortable. If you want to say Tachanun today, the Eidachar, they just said, and they're suffering immeasurably given the contagion rate in the Haredi world, they said you should say Avinu Malkeinu every day during Nisan. So you have a halachic basis to stand upon, but just understand what Tachanun is and appreciate it. Again, my heartfelt apologies for what happened. It wasn't within my control. I think tomorrow we'll also use this locked-in environment with a password, and then Amir Tashem will try a little bit later in the week. Hopefully they've lost their interest in us. Hopefully we'll go back to an open shear. I'll control who can use the chalkboard, but everyone can join, and I'll mute everyone. Okay, again, my apologies. I don't like to be so strong-armed, and you can only join if I give you a password and stuff, but this is just to protect the integrity of the shear. I'll unmute everyone just to say hello. Hello, everyone. Good to see you. Thank you for joining. And,
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm going to hustle and daven mincha, but hopefully we should be able to have a clean and appropriate environment for the continuation of this year. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, cultive.